Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to be here with you. You know, there is something special about January. I think it's a great month. I mean, if you would take away all the cold and the short nights and the dreariness, it's really great. There's nothing at all to complain about when it comes to January. Wow, that fell flat. That was really bad. Some things don't change, right? But there is something special about starting a new year. Because it's not just a new day, it's not just a new week, it's not just a new month. It's a whole new year, right? 2025. The old is gone, the new has come. You know, one of the ways that as we approach this next year, that one of the ways that we're going to be growing, right, where there's a lot of shifts, membership, discipleship, fellowship, that we're going to be focusing upon. You know, we don't become members of a church to wield power, right? We become members of a church because we agree with the mission of the church. And there are many places in Scripture where we can go to read about the mission of the church. And in his letter to the church in Rome, Paul discusses this issue. So we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 12, verses 3 and following. Paul begins by saying this, "For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So first of all, first thing Paul's saying to us is that God designed us to work together. Right, the Bible uses a couple of different illustrations to describe the church. And one of the images that Paul will use oftentimes is he talks about the family, that God designed us as a family and how we need each other, that we would belong to one another. One of the other favorite illustrations that he has is the use of the body language. The church is a body. And that each one of our bodies has lots of different bits and pieces, lots of different functions, and they are all needed for the body to survive. You know, the church has lots of different functions, lots of different actions and interests and personalities, but they all need to work together to be healthy. You know, in the human body, the heart keeps the blood pumping, the lungs keep the oxygen flowing throughout the body, the stomach digests food, the nose helps us breathe and smell, and the ears help us to hear. We could go on and on with that. But the point is that every single part has a job. And every one of the jobs are important. And this is what Paul wants us to hear, wants us to understand, that in the church, everybody has a role to play. And the Apostle Paul tells us right off the bat not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought, that we need to look at ourselves with sober judgment. And what is he saying there? I think in order for us to think with sober judgment, we need to correct a common misconception. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we're told that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Now, there's something very unique about this passage. We're not told that we do the workmanship of God. We're told that we are the workmanship of God. That God has designed us and equipped us for a particular purpose. That he has fashioned us and given us, each one of us, a role to play within his kingdom, just as he determined it to be. He says we are his masterpiece. And so with that in mind, let's go back to Romans chapter 12. Don't think more highly of yourselves than you should. And so his first caution is against arrogance. You know, the human tendency, or the human condition is what it is. We all have this tendency to think that we are the center and everything revolves around us. It's what I want. It's what I like. It's my preferences that need to take priority. We tend to think that our perceptions are the correct ones and that our thinking is the most enlightened. It's my way or the highway kind of thinking. Now, some of you may have watched a bit of football this past week. You know, one of the things that we notice, or one of the things that becomes apparent as we watch, Steelers aren't very good this year, but besides that, the most gifted player on the field cannot be successful without their teammates. A running back needs an offensive line. A quarterback needs protection. Receivers need a good pass. The linebacker needs the line to help him pursue the runner. The cornerback needs to put pressure on the passer, and the coach needs the team to execute the plays. Right? Teams need each other. We're the team God put together here in North Sewickley. Right? None of us are it. We work together. We need one another. You look behind you, you look in front of you, you look to your right, look to your left. These are the people God has put on our team, and each one of us is essential. Now, there's another side to arrogance. And while many people will often get this inflated form of their own importance, there are many people who will think less of themselves than they should. How does this appear as arrogance? Now, if God says that we are valuable, which he does, and if God tells us that each one of us has a significant role to play in his ministry of the church, which he does, then it's arrogant for us to think that we can somehow override God's evaluation of ourselves, that our judgment about ourselves must be greater than God's. Now, the solution to these problems, whether it's high arrogance or low arrogance, is to have an accurate understanding of our role in the body of Christ. We must recognize our strengths and our weaknesses. Humility is being able to see our situation accurately. You know, the truly humble person is able to say, God has given me the ability to do blank. And I can use this, if I can use this for his glory, then I am willing. Now, how do you get an accurate picture of what you can do? An accurate picture of your talents or your abilities? Well, what are you good at? Are you good with your hands? Are you good with talking with people? Are you good with details? Are you good at developing a plan of action? Do you have a knack of technology? Are you good with records? Are you good with music? Can you make truth, complex truth, clear? We have all of the gifts here that we need. What are the things are you passionate about? Passionate about missions, visitation, music, develop more programs for children. Make sure the house of God is cared for. What are those things that drive you, that you are passionate about? And what do others believe that you have? What are things that people say they recognize in you? And if you put these things together, you're going to see a unique ministry profile, unique ministry personality. And finding your area of ministry is finding your way to use your abilities to minister in the areas that you are passionate about. Now, secondly, the church cannot be what God has created it to be unless we do what God has equipped us to do. Now, Paul says, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with the faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. You know, Paul says that we are to use the gifts that God has given us. It's not much use for a person who has the gift of service if they're not going to serve. And it doesn't matter if God has given you a generous heart if you're not going to share with others. That when we discover what God has equipped us and called us to do, we must then look for a way to use what we have been given. Notice also it says that we're told that whatever we're going to do, we need to do it well, right? We need to do it with some gusto. If it's going to be contributing to the needs of others, Paul says, let them give generously. If it is leadership, let them govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let them do it cheerfully. You know, truthfully, once you find out where God wants you to be, you're going to have some enthusiasm. You're going to have some excitement. You're going to enjoy your job. Now, every job, you know, doesn't always come with 100% satisfaction. There are distasteful parts to every job or every role. But you will find that when you are doing what God has called you to do, and you will find a sense of fulfillment and a completeness that will energize your soul. And so let me conclude this morning with a couple simple suggestions, especially as we enter this new year of 2025. First of all, take your role as part of this church seriously. Refuse to simply be a spectator of the ministry of the church. Refuse to be content with Concord simply being a good church. Strive to make it a great church. Dare to believe that God can do greater things, more than we could ever ask or imagine, because it's all for His glory. Secondly, make an effort to discover your ministry here at Concord Church. Ask God, what would you have me to do here? God, how do you want me to live out my faith, to live out my giftedness, to live out my calledness here at Concord Church? You know, you could ask yourselves those questions that I suggested earlier. What am I good at? What am I passionate about? And what do others say? Third, be attentive for ways you can do what God has equipped you to do. You know, dare to think outside of the box. Be creative. Dare to see what hasn't been seen before. Refuse to let the perceived obstacles, refuse to let them stand in your way. You'll find the place where you can serve God enthusiastically and joyfully and don't look back. Be a part of the adventure. Finally, take God at His word. Believe Him when He says that every child has a ministry. Believe Him when He tells you that you have a significant place in His work at the church, of His church. Believe Him when He says that He loves you. Believe Him when he tells you that He believes in you, that you are called to make this church not just a good church, but a great church. That there's not a single person in this space that God is not calling and equipping and wants to use. Let's get out of God's way in 2025 and be the men and women, God, that he has called us to be. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we are thankful for your mercies that are new every day. And Lord, as we turn the page into 2025, God, we pray that you would continue to mobilize us, that you would move us up and out, that God, we would make ourselves available to you. Thank you for wanting to use ordinary people like us to serve an extraordinary kingdom of God. Help us to faithfully place ourselves in your hands to be used in ways that bless others and glorify you. Thank you, Jesus, for all of this, and it's in your name we pray.